Let us read together from the Word of God, from the Gospel of John, John's Gospel in the New Testament, and John's Gospel and chapter 11. Here we have an account about the sickness of Lazarus, and then the death of Lazarus, the faith of his sisters, and the rising of the dead of Lazarus. And as we read this account, I want you to look at the faith, particularly of Martha, as recorded in this account in John's Gospel. So it's John's Gospel and chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, Let us go unto Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, that's about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled. And he said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was lain. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. I'll leave the reading of God's word there. May he bless it to our souls. As the Lord may graciously help me, I turn your prayerful attention to John's Gospel and chapter 11. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 11, and the declaration of Martha's faith, really, in verse 27. Verse 27 of John's Gospel, chapter 11. These are the words of Martha. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." That's John 11 and verse 27. In this chapter, in John's Gospel, we have the account given of the death of Lazarus, his sickness, and then his death. And this was a very difficult chapter in the life of Martha and Mary. It was the chapter in which their brother dies. And it's a chapter, really, at the beginning of the chapter, where I believe they were disappointed in the Lord Jesus, in the sense that they thought that when they sent a message, that he would come and help them. So if we look through this precious chapter, this declaration of Martha's faith was on a backdrop of a great disappointment. Expectation that didn't materialize. But you see, ultimately Martha was not going to be disappointed in her God. And this is the message I want to give as we preach this evening, how that the Lord tries his people's faith. But you see, that the Lord is, we're to have that faith in the midst of difficulties and the midst of circumstances that seem to shout the opposite. Let's look at this as we look through this chapter. We read, first of all, that there was this man, Lazarus, of Bethany that was sick. Lazarus had these two sisters, Mary and Martha. And this is the family that Jesus seemed to often stay with when he was in that area. And we have that account in Luke's Gospel in chapter 10, where Jesus was coming to stay and Martha was busy getting ready for the supper for the Lord Jesus. But Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet listening to his words. And she's somewhat cross with her sister for not helping her get ready the food to eat. And Jesus gently says to Martha, "Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her." Mary had stopped to listen to the words of Jesus and even preparing a meal for the Lord Jesus. You could think, well, surely that's a really honourable activity. Even that was less important than sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his words. Well, this is the family, a godly family. And we are told in the beginning of this chapter how Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Well, we read then of this sickness, and then in verse 3 of chapter 11 that we read, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." It's interesting how they don't say, "Lord, he whom we love is sick." They did love Lazarus. But they, as it were, have that importunity in their argument. They believe that Jesus loved Lazarus, and it was quite true, he did. And that's how they use that, as it were, a lever in their argument, to try and obtain that blessing, as it were, and that visit from the Lord. "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And then in verse 4, we have this statement of the Lord Jesus, which appeared not to take place. You see, the Lord tries the faith of his people. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Well, if you read on and see that Lazarus does die, you think, well, What does this mean then? Jesus said that he wouldn't die, and now he's died. And you see, we need patience. We need to trust him in the difficult times. And that's what Martha and Mary needed to do and did, for the most part, act very honourable in these difficult circumstances. But we need, you see, to cling on to the Lord Jesus when everything else seems to be falling away. And we read that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and her sister and Lazarus. So Jesus loved them. They sent a letter to the Lord Jesus, "Come and see my sick brother." We're told that Jesus loved them, that he had a message to come. But then we're told these strange words. "When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. You say, well, surely, why would this be? If the Lord really loved me, if he really cared for me, if he really was my God, surely he would appear. And you see, this is always Satan's argument, seeking to say, well, if God doesn't appear in this particular time scale, in this particular way, well, then we have to doubt him. But you see, Martha, it's very interesting here. Martha, as we've named as a text, she did not lose sight of who Jesus was. She did not, as it were, in this disappointment, she did not say, well, if Jesus doesn't come when I ask him to, and if he can't come and visit my brother when he's so poorly, then I have no more time for this one. No, Martha was not like that. She was able to hold on to her faith in Jesus, even though all the things around her in this chapter were difficult. And that's something that we need to think of as Christians, because we will come into many times when everything around us seems to be pointing in the other direction. And we need to lay hold on those truths which cannot be shaken. And Martha did that, and she was not disappointed. Well, so Jesus then comes, and when he arrives at Bethany, he finds that Lazarus had already been 4 days in the grave. So he did not come when they asked, and by the time he got there, 4 days, he had already been in the grave. No doubt, a massive trial to Martha and to Mary. Why didn't he not come? Why didn't he come? And you see, so often in our lives, things come into our lives we can't understand. Job had things come into his life. He couldn't understand why the Lord had allowed this. Why had the Lord sent fire down from heaven and destroyed his animals? Why had that wind come and knocked down that house where his children were having their feast? Why was that? Well, there was lots of questions that Job couldn't answer, really. But he was able to come in the midst of it all and say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, so many things that Job didn't know. So many things he couldn't understand. And I'm not being unkind to Job in that sense of saying that we would understand those things that Job didn't. So in our lives, there's things that we can't explain, because God is God. And if you think about it this way, if God is almighty, of infinite wisdom and knowledge, isn't it foolishness to think that we can understand God? If you could say, well, everything God does, I understand. Everything he thinks, I realize why he's doing it. I understand always what he's doing. Then you have managed to understand. You have managed to, as it were, know the mind of God and have an ability to be as great as he is. No, he is great, and our understanding is so limited compared to him. And so therefore, when things go opposite to what we think, we need to trust in him, and not lose sight of who he is. Remember, he is God. And though we've been disappointed, and surely in this chapter, Martha and Mary were very disappointed. Very disappointed that the Lord Jesus did not come. And yet we want to look at their faith in it all. So now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, this is verse 18 of chapter 11, about 15 furlongs off, that's 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brothers. So although Martha and Mary and Lazarus had a lot of dealings with the Lord Jesus, there was also the Jews that loved them as well. So they were Jews, and yet they loved the Lord Jesus. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Now, isn't that amazing? She didn't say, well, if he doesn't come when I want him to come, then I'm not having any more to do with him. You could imagine that she could be like that. But no, Martha loves the Lord Jesus. She doesn't understand what's happened. She doesn't understand why he's delayed. And of course, the delay ultimately was going to bring glory to God. This delay in coming to restore Lazarus from sickness back to health, the Lord Jesus was actually going to do something far greater. And he was going to demonstrate his ability to reverse death and reverse the death of one that had been 4 days already in the grave. You see, his ways were higher than their ways, and his thoughts were higher than their thoughts. And you see, that's the God we serve, one that is higher, one that is greater. And we need to bow down sense and reason. Faith only reigns here. Well, Martha, in verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She still respected the power of Jesus, that he could have stopped that happening. And more than that, she says beyond that in verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She'd just been massively disappointed with what had happened. And yet she doesn't lose sight of who the Lord Jesus is. And I do believe, because often Martha gets a bad press, perhaps because of Luke 10, where we read that she was busy with, cumbered about with much serving, and so busy serving that she got cross with her sister for not helping her. And we tend to think that perhaps Martha was not very spiritual, not as spiritual as she should have been. But you see here, her faith is very great and very strong. Indeed, what we've named as a text is very similar to the words that Peter replied when Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And they said, well, some John the Baptist. But then he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He gave a clear testimony of who he believed Jesus was. But that was not in the face of great disappointment. Here, Martha had just been greatly disappointed. Really, you could say rather like the two on the road to Emmaus. They'd been greatly disappointed. They had heard of all that had happened in Jerusalem, and they were walking from Jerusalem on the day of the resurrection to Emmaus. And they were talking about everything that had happened around Calvary and all that had happened. And they say to one another, well, this stranger meets them. And they talk to this stranger. And the strange, they say, we thought that, talking about the Lord Jesus, we thought that it would have been he that would have redeemed Israel. But because of everything that had happened at Calvary, because of his death, and because he had been crucified in such a difficult circumstances and so sad, it seemed that he had been beaten, that they then questioned whether he was the Messiah. But Martha, no. Martha maintained her faith in the midst of the death of her brother. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am. You see, John's gospel has many of these I am sayings. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. But here, Jesus says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus came to give that resurrection, that life out of death. You see, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden with the fall of Adam, That brought death into this world. And Jesus has come that he might give life, might give resurrection from that dead, so that there would not be then for God's people, and there would be a resurrection. Yes, there would be a resurrection for all, some to a resurrection of glory, and some to a resurrection of eternal punishment. Very, very solemn. But you see, death is not going to be forever in that sense. There is going to be a rising from the dead. And Jesus was teaching this. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yes, it's difficult. Your brother's just died. There's Lazarus laying in the grave. Do you believe this? Yes, she did believe that Jesus was able to raise her brother from the dead. But Jesus is saying, I'm not only going to raise him at the last day, I'm going to raise him now. Because I am the one that can command death. You think of it. Jesus was able to command death. Oh, the power of Jesus. That what he came to do, what a powerful thing death is, isn't it? You think of it. All through the life of mankind, people have died. People who lived hundreds, 200s, 300 years ago, what's happened to all of them? They've died. Death has got the better of all of them. The most healthy, the strongest, the most clever of them, they've all passed away. Because death, the wages of sin is death. But you see, the Lord Jesus is come that they might have life. That there may be that resurrection from the dead. That there may be a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he says to Martha. Yea, and Jesus asked her, believest thou this? Martha, do you believe this? And then she gives this very sweet testimony in verse 27. She saith unto him, yea, Lord. That means, yes, Lord. Yes, I do believe it. Yes, I do. Yes, but Martha, you've just had a brother that's died. You've just had somebody, you've asked somebody to come and help, and they haven't come in a timely manner, according to your thinking. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. Wonderful faith that she had, that this one that stood in front of her was the Christ, was the anointed one that was God in human flesh, was the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. We think of that as we come up to this time of the year, to Christmas time. We think of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus, how God became man. He took on him a human nature. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And that shows that the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus, it was not his beginning. He didn't begin to exist when he came was born as a babe in Bethlehem. That was not the beginning of Jesus. It was not the beginning of the Son of God. It was him taking on the eternal sonship of God, taking on human flesh, taking on something that he was not before, and then returning to heaven with something that he had not before, which was his humanity with his divinity. And so therefore in heaven above we have a real human man that now is in heaven and pleads, intercedes for his people. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. You think of that testimony of that one who was the eunuch that Philip was speaking to, and he said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He's talking about being baptized. And here we have Martha's testimony. I believe that thou art the Christ. I believe that thou art the anointed one of God. That thou art thou art God manifest in the flesh, the Son of God, which should come into the world. There was an appointment. She realized that the Lord, that God the Father would send his beloved Son into this world, and that Jesus was that Son, and Jesus was that one who had come to reverse the awful effects of sin. You see, sin had separated the human race from God. Sin had separated. The wages of sin is death. It had brought death. And Jesus came to reverse that. Reverse that awful sentence of death that was in us by nature. So there would be a people to praise his name. There would be a people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That there would be those who he had laid down his life for, so that they might rise again and be with him in glory. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. What think ye of Christ? There's a lovely hymn written by John Newton. What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. Ye cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As what you see, what you think of as the Lord Jesus Christ is so critical to your eternal state. Is he just another man, or is he the God-man? Is he the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he one that you can put your trust in for time and for eternity? Is he one that has conquered? In one place it talks about abolishing death. Politicians, they make edicts and they abolish certain things. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ abolishing death. You think of that. No politician can abolish death. Think of the foolishness of somebody standing up and saying, well, they're going to make death illegal. You see, death goes on. It's pointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. It's a fact that as we have sinned, so we will, in due course, we will die. But you see here, the Lord Jesus is that one who came to abolish death. And how death is, it holds us captive, doesn't it? You see a body in a coffin. They're trapped. They're captured. They're not able to escape, as it were. But you see, he came to resurrect. And as Lazarus's body was laying in that tomb, and Martha said, well, 4 days later, and particularly in those hot climates with no cooling, no air conditioning, as it were, the body very quickly stinks. It very quickly rots and putrefies. But you see, Jesus was able to reverse that decaying effect, and cause that Lazarus should rise again and come out of that tomb, walking, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. This is the power of God. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is what I am. I've come to defeat death. And the way he's defeated death, of course, he had not yet as yet died, but of course, in another sense, we read in the Word of God that he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So in that sense, that right from the beginning of the world, it was certain that the Lord Jesus would come, would suffer, would bleed, would die, would rise again. You see, when we say tomorrow we hope to do a certain thing, we all have diaries and we all have appointments that we hope to do tomorrow, but we don't know whether we really will do those things. We expect to do them, provided it doesn't snow, provided we're well, and provided many things, then we hope to do something else. We hope to do what we have in our diaries to do. But when Jesus, you see, right from the foundation of the world, it was certain that he would come to this world. It was certain that he'd suffer, bleed, and die. So he became the Lamb from the foundation of the world. There was a certainty here. And you see, when the Lord Jesus died then, all the Old Testament saints that had already died and put their faith in the Lord Jesus, put their faith in God, they were really, that they were looking forward to what Christ would do, looking forward to what he would accomplish at Calvary. And they died, as it were, in David and Moses and all those others. It was Moses that was found with Elias on that Mount of Transfiguration, talking about what Christ would accomplish at Jerusalem. It was important to Moses. That one who lived so many years earlier, his hope for eternal life was centered in what Christ would do. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the light. And this lovely testimony of Martha, she said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world, not just to the Jewish nation, to the world. God so loved the world. That means Jew and Gentile, not just the Jews. This was a salvation for both Jew and Gentile. All the seed of Abraham, who were the seed of those that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have that faith of faithful Abraham. Well, the Lord Jesus then goes to the tomb of Lazarus. And we see here the humanity of the Lord Jesus. In verse 33 it says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then we have the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35 of John 11. Jesus wept. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He saw firsthand the sadness that death brings, the separation that death brought to this happy little family of these two sisters and a brother that lived in Bethany. It brought sadness, you see, and sin, it brings forth that sadness. But Jesus had come to deliver that. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Well, you see, of course he could, but he had allowed it. And that's what we need in our lives, you see, to realize that God's purposes are often so much greater, are always greater than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. Martha had thought, well, yes, he will be raised eventually, but not now. And then in verse 38 says, Jesus therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay at the door. This is verse 39 of John 11. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? We need faith, don't we? We need faith. Faith to lay hold upon the truths of the gospel. Faith to believe that this one is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And though as it were, everything around Martha was shouting that, well, he's died. Jesus didn't come. Yes, he says he's the resurrection of the life, but my brother's dead. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father. Here we see the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, God the Son, speaking to his Father in heaven, God the Father. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said this, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent. He was sent. He sent his only begotten Son into this world. Sent, that means he wasn't, that also shows, you see, he existed before he came. If you're sent somewhere, you don't start existing when you get there, do you? If I send you to London, you don't start existing when you get to London. You're already there, and when you get to London, you do something. You see, he was sent. And the Lord Jesus then was eternally the Son of the Father. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now this is a power, this is a word of authority, isn't it? He speaks and the dead rise. And you see there's something here pictured spiritually, as when in the proclamation of the gospel, there is life. There's life given in those words. The Lord is able to speak and give life. Just like he was able to say to that paralyzed one, stand on your feet. Not that the man had no power to stand on his feet normally, but in giving the command, he also gave the power. And as the command was given, Lazarus, come forth. Normally, if you say that to a dead person, there's no response. They can't hear you. And if they could hear you, they can't do it. But you see here, with the command came the power. The power that said, let there be light, and there was light at the beginning of creation. Here there was, let there be life, you see. The life of the light of the world. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Oh, all the things that bind him, restricting his movement. He was to be loosed. He was to be at liberty. He was once again to be able to go and be with his sisters in Bethany. And then we see, you see, these two responses in verses 45 and verses 46. The two responses, and it's the same today, the two responses from the preaching of the gospel. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believed that this was the Son of God. This was the one that can reverse the awful effects of sin. This was the anointed one. This was the Saviour of the world. But verse 46 is the opposite. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, clearly, the way that's written, I believe the intention is they wanted to see how they could undo and ridicule, as it were, what had happened. How are we going to cope with this one? How are we going to undermine him on this occasion? You see, some believed and some rejected. And you see, it's a very searching thing. Can we say with dear Martha, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. Believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has made a way of salvation, that he has reversed the awful effects of sin. Now that does not mean that Christians will not die. They'll die, but they'll be raised again. When time shall be no longer, they will be raised. And their spirits, of course, do not go, cease, as it were, to live when they die. They go to be with Christ, which is far better. That's how Paul describes it. He says he was in a dilemma as to what to do, because one part of him had a desire to be with Christ, which is far better. You see, here we see how God is able to turn the curse into a blessing. What was the original curse in the Garden of Eden? Death was the curse that was associated with sin. The wages of sin is death. And Adam was said, "The day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die." That was the curse. And yet you see how the Lord Jesus turns these things round. You see, he is able to make water into wine. He's able to make the curse into a blessing. How did he do that? Well, you see, Paul does not describe death as a curse in that sense. He says that having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. But death was a curse. Death was a negative, surely. But you see, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done, he turned that curse into a blessing. So that actually for the Lord's people, then death has a very different meaning. Yes, it is the end of their natural life. But it's to go to be with Christ, to be with their Saviour, to be with their Redeemer, just like the dying thief. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. They were to be with him which is far better. The curse has been turned into a blessing. And how is that? How could the curse be turned into a blessing? Because the Son of God became a curse for his people. You see, when we get shown mercy, when we get shown mercy by God, what does mercy mean? Undeserved favour. When we get showed undeserved favour because we're sinners and God shows us kindness and love and mercy and doesn't treat us as we deserve. He gives us mercy. But how does he do that and be just? Because every time he gives us mercy, he takes the due reward of our deeds and the punishment that is due to that and puts it on his beloved Son. And so every time we receive mercy, he receives the curse of God for those sins that we have committed. And you see, that's how there's a transfer. And of course, the Lord Jesus has paid that price at Calvary and is now finished. He's satisfied that. And that's why Calvary, instead of being a place of failure, which is what many people looking on, they considered failure. The disciples considered that their master had died and failed, really. That he'd been overcome by the powers. But you see, really, he was overcoming the greatest of enemies. He was overcoming the last enemy, and that is death. And how was he overcoming it? By dying himself and then rising again and taking the sting out of death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The strength of sin. Let me just quote that correctly. It's 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is thy sting? This is verse 55 of 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. Sin is a transgression of the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the victory. This is why Martha was able to say, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the one, this is the only one that could save the human race, all his people, from their sins, was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one that could do this. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in, and he did it justly. He didn't sidestep justice. You see, you could have somebody that doesn't satisfy justice and lets people in, as it were, illegitimately into heaven. But Jesus doesn't do that. He satisfied the law. All the claims, these people are wicked, these people have, there needs to be, as it were, the punishment needs to be upon them. I'll take the punishment instead. I'll stand in their place. I'll take all that punishment, and they can go free, and they can be with me eternally in heaven, and Satan and all his hellish hosts can say nothing, because the debt is paid. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.